This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
The Rich Zioli Show podcast.
Yeah, you can call them breadcrumbs if you want. Russia's exactly right. The Mueller report has all kinds of little Easter eggs in there, as we call them. Easter eggs of little hidden things you can find. If you want to focus on that, I think it would be political suicide for the Democrats to go down that road. But luckily, they're not very good at politics these days, and they're going to go down that road. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Zioli Show on Twitter at Rich Zioli. It's a very busy day, and I want to get your reaction. 855-839-1210. Here's what we know. Gerald Nadler, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, just wrapped up a press conference a moment ago. We're going to have a bunch of hearings, and he outlined all the things that he thinks rise to the level of obstruction of justice. So the Democrats today have taken everything in this report, and they've completely dropped collusion about Russia. It's gone. It's now all about obstruction of justice, and that's what they're focused on like a laser beam. Now, remember something. This investigation happened because of what? What was the genesis of this? The genesis of this was the fact that Russia tried to interfere with our elections, which is a bad thing. Everybody agrees that Russia should not interfere with our elections. So they had an investigation. This is the collusion investigation, the findings of which show Donald Trump did not collude. There's no question about that. That the special counsel is very clear on. He did not collude, period. No collusion. So then the question becomes, how do you obstruct justice in an investigation where the result of that investigation would show you didn't do anything wrong? Now, you can, of course, but why would you? I mean, why would you obstruct justice if you know you didn't do anything? What kind of sense does that make? Why would an innocent person purposely obstruct justice knowing that their investigation is going to find that they were innocent? Who would do that? But if we know that there's no Russia collusion, and nobody's arguing that, nobody's even questioning that, it's now all shifted into the attempts to stop Mueller. The obvious question then becomes, was it obstruction of justice, or was it another reason why the president wanted the investigation shut down? Which he didn't do, by the way. But was there another reason? And the answer, actually, surprisingly enough, is found in the conversations between the president and Chris Christie. It's ironic because he'll be my guest tonight in Collingswood at the Scottish Rite. The tickets it's sold out. There's no tickets at the door, unfortunately. But we'll have a lot of audio to play for you tomorrow if you miss it. But the special counsel's conclusions regarding the firing of FBI Director James Comey really come out to this point that Mueller makes. We sought evidence relevant to assessing whether the president's direction to Comey was motivated by sympathy towards Flynn. In other words, when the president was trying to get him to go easy on Michael Flynn, was that for sympathy or because he was covering something up? And the conclusion by the special counsel was that this was motivated because he believed that this was a sense of Flynn was a decent guy and he wanted to, you know, keep Flynn from saying negative things about him, which is what people believed. But it was really the fact that he just wanted this investigation to go away. He had a meeting with Chris Christie. It says, when the president met with Comey the day after Flynn's termination, shortly after being told by Christie that firing Flynn would not end the Russia investigation, the president's decision to meet one-on-one with Comey contravened the advice of the White House counsel. So they said, don't meet with the guy alone. But the president's efforts to have McFarland, one of his guys, write an internal email denying that the president had directed Flynn to discuss sanctions with Kislyak highlights the president's concern about being associated with Flynn's conduct. The evidence does not establish that the president was trying to have McFarland lie. The president's request, however, was sufficiently irregular that McFarland, who did not know the full extent of Flynn's communications with the president and thus could not make the representation the president wanted, felt the need to draft an internal memorandum documenting the president's request and concern that the president would look like it was a quid pro quo in exchange for an ambassadorship. So the special counsel concludes here that the president wanted this to go away, the investigation to go away, not because he was worried about being implicated, but because it was his thinking that if Flynn was gone, then the investigation would be over and he could move on with his presidency. He felt as if his presidency was under attack. He felt as if his presidency was absolutely under attack, and it was. That was the whole point. If you go back to the text messages between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, the lovers, you realize that their insurance policy the entire time was what? It was an investigation. The outcome of which was never the point. The investigation was the point to hobble and cripple the presidency so that Donald Trump could get nothing done. And that's what was happening. He was mired in this investigation, and he wanted it to go away. And he talks about Flynn with FBI Director Comey because he wanted it to go away. He thought, and this is the special counsel's conclusion, the president thought wrongly that if the Flynn matter was over, then they could move on and be done with it. They'd be done and move on. Chris Christie recalled that based on his experience, both as a prosecutor and as someone who had been investigated, firing Flynn would not end the investigation. Christie told the president there was no way to make an investigation shorter, but a lot of ways to make it longer. The president asked Christie what he meant, and Christie told the president not to talk about the investigation, even if he was frustrated at times. Christie also told the president that he would never be able to get rid of Flynn. He's like gum on the bottom of your shoe. So Michael Flynn, you know, a decorated general and everything else, and whatever Michael Flynn did in his own private business dealings with Russia had nothing to do with campaign collusion, nothing. But the fact that this investigation was going on and what was happening at the same time, the media was running around going, Russia collusion, right? Russia collusion. And they were arguing that Flynn was the answer to proving Russia collusion. And he wasn't. He's not, because there wasn't any. Flynn had his own problems, but it had nothing to do with using Russia to affect the outcome of our election. But what did you hear in the press back then? Go back to that time. Go back to the time when all this was going on, back in February of 2017. New president, trying to get his arms around everything, and constantly on the media, day in, day out, collusion, collusion, Russia, Flynn, investigation, Flynn, Russia, collusion, on and on and on. So he says to Christie, he goes, look, if I get rid of this guy, is this over? If I fire Flynn, if this is over, is this done? If I ask the FBI director, go easy on the guy, is this done? Is this over so I could just move on? He wanted Christie to tell the FBI director that he was loyal and part of the team. And Christie didn't want to give that message. We sought evidence, the special counsel concludes, relevant to assessing whether the president's direction to Comey was motivated by sympathy towards Flynn. And the answer was, it was all about getting rid of the investigation, not because he was worried about implicating himself in anything. In anything, because there was nothing to implicate himself in. What you hear from Democrats today, as they run around and yelling obstruction of justice, is they're arguing that when the president tried to get Comey to go easy on Flynn, that was obstruction of justice. It's not, which the special counsel makes clear in this report. Then they try to argue that by firing Comey, that it was obstruction of justice. But again, as you read the special counsel's conclusion, you realize that they got rid of Comey because they wanted all of this to go away. And it was the recommendation of Rod Rosenstein to fire Comey, to get rid of him, and that they were acting on that recommendation. And then the whole thing blew up after that. It blew up. So as they analyzed the purposes behind the president of the United States firing the FBI director and concluding that he had the ability to do it, the motivations were not in line with having a cover-up of a crime. Chris Christie recalled a telephone call with the president in which the president asked what Christie thought about the president firing the special counsel. Christie advised against doing so because there was no substantive basis for the president to fire the special counsel and because the president would lose support from Republicans in Congress if he did so. In analyzing the president's direction to Dan McGahn to have the special counsel removed, the following evidence is relevant to the elements of obstruction of justice. As with the president's firing of Comey, the attempt to remove the special counsel would qualify as an obstructive act if it would naturally obstruct the investigation and any grand jury proceedings that might flow from the inquiry, even if the removal of the lead prosecutor would not prevent the investigation from continuing under a new appointee. A threshold question is whether the president, in fact, directed Dan McGahn, his counsel, to have the special counsel removed. And the fact that the president wanted him out has everything to do with the whole notion of he believed that this investigation was going to be the end of his presidency, not because they were going to find anything, but because the investigation was this overwhelming black hole that was sucking the presidency and the White House and everything around it into it. And that the president's desire on firing Comey and the special counsel was to end the Russia investigation. His working with among staff to push back on the Russia investigation was because the Russia investigation had become the dominant story of the day, overshadowing everything. And what did the Russia investigation in and of itself conclude? There was no collusion. So think about this now. Here's an investigation going on for all this time that is causing the president of the United States to not be able to function fully as president. To have the president feel as if he can't get away from this thing. But he knows he didn't do anything wrong, but they're still coming at him day in and day out, talking about Russia, alleging that he's a Putin stooge. By the way, the report also makes very clear that Corey Lewandowski, as campaign manager, kept telling George Papadopoulos the president would not go to Russia and give a speech, would not have a meeting with Putin. None of these things would happen. So you're the president. Think about it now. It's 2017. You're trying to get all this stuff done, and every day on the news, nonstop, Russia collusion, Russia collusion. You want it to end. You want it to go away. You know you didn't do anything, but you figure, okay, if I get rid of Flynn, it'll go away. It doesn't go away. If I ask them to go easy on Flynn, it'll go away. It doesn't go away. If I get rid of Comey, it'll go away. It doesn't go away. If I fire Mueller, it'll go away. And it's not going to go away. Mueller sticks around and concludes the investigation. If I go out there and ask people to say bad things about Mueller, maybe they'll stop talking about it. All of his motivations, and motivation is the key point, right? The mens rea, the state of mind of the person committing the act. His state of mind was not, I'm worried because they're going to find that I colluded with Russia. We have to get away from this investigation that's just consuming this White House, which is reasonable, considering that it's exactly why they launched the investigation in the first place. That was their goal. I mean, the text messages between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page admit that. They acknowledge that. That's why they wanted the investigation. And it was working. It was succeeding. It was doing what they intended it to do. But they knew there was no collusion, and the president knew there was no collusion, and at no point did the special counsel ever come out and say, he's not under investigation, which he could have. He could have come out and said that, and then everybody could have moved on, but he never did. Why not? Why wouldn't he, by the way? And so the president's angry this entire time because the president felt like this investigation was a farce and a witch hunt, and you know what? It was, because they found no collusion. We're literally now no longer talking about Russia collusion. We are now talking about obstruction of justice. And whether the president obstructed the course of an investigation that proved there was no collusion. From a guy who had the mens rea to know that there was no collusion and had no attempts to cover up an investigation into said collusion because there was no collusion. He just wanted the investigation itself to go away because it was being this vortex sucking everything into it. And the mistakes that he made around that are the mistakes in believing that when he told people those motivations that it was going to be seemingly innocent. But that's not how Washington works. And instead, they are now using all that to say he was trying to obstruct justice. But the answer to the Democrats, I keep pushing back and saying this. If there's no collusion, what investigation was he trying to obstruct? And they can't answer that. And they won't, because we've gone from it's no longer about Russia anymore. It never has been, but it certainly now is no longer about Russia. Okay, so the key takeaway is that the Attorney General today outlined certain things the president did not do, that he could have done, that he did not do. For example, he did not end the probe. He did not fire the special counsel. At one point, the argument is that he directed his attorney to fire him, and then his attorney wouldn't. And so they didn't want to have a Saturday night massacre thing. Again, the motivation there was because Trump's thinking, if I just fire him and get rid of him. I mean, it's really somebody who's very naive in politics, quite frankly, to think that. But, you know, I mean, he's never been in politics before. He's new at this. He's never been a politician. So that's what Christie was trying to convey to him. By the way, all the haters who have been bashing me having Chris Christie in tonight, I'm having a conversation tonight with a guy who's in the Mueller report, talking to the president of the United States about actions that are in the Mueller report, all right? So all of you haters can kiss it, you know, because the reality is, how many people tonight are sitting down with somebody in the Mueller report, the day the Mueller report's released? That me, and Chris Christie, by the way. And Christie tried to advise him of the fact that this is Washington. It doesn't end like that. But, you know, look, Trump's a businessman who probably figured, you know, if I got somebody who's a thorn in my side, I get rid of him. That's the end of it. Like, we move on. And of course, that's not how it is. And even today, it's not how it is, because even though he didn't fire Mueller, the fact that he wanted to at one point, that's enough for the Democrats to run around and scream obstruction. The fact that the special counsel concludes that his firing of James Comey was not to cover up a crime he committed, they still want it. They still say it's obstruction of justice anyway. I mean, that's where we are with these people. That's where we are. Now, this is what the attorney general, he had a lot to say today, Bill Barr, but this one particular point I think is very important to hear. Take a listen.
The decision whether to assert executive privilege over any portion of the report rested with the President of the United States. Because the White House had voluntarily cooperated with the special counsel, significant portions of the report contain material over which the President could have asserted privilege. And he would have been well within his rights to do so. Following my March 29th letter, the Office of the White House Counsel requested the opportunity to review the redacted version of the report in order to advise the President on the potential invocation of privilege, which is consistent with longstanding practice. Following that review, the President confirmed that in the interest of transparency and full disclosure to the American people, he would not assert privilege over the special counsel's report. Accordingly, the public report I am releasing today contains redactions only for the four categories that I previously outlined, and no material has been redacted based on executive privilege. The President's personal counsel requested and was given the opportunity to read a final version of the redacted report before it was publicly released. That request was consistent with the practice followed under the Ethics in Government Act, which permitted individuals named in a report prepared by an independent counsel the opportunity to read the report before publication. The President's personal lawyers were not permitted to make and did not request any redactions.
That's very relevant in all this. Okay, because what you're going to hear is this. Let me tell you what you're going to hear, especially if you're just kind of getting in the car and you're trying to figure all this out. Here's what you're going to hear. Number one, Robert Mueller's report identified 10 times the president may have obstructed justice. Okay, that's what you're going to hear. 10 times the president may have obstructed justice. I'm going to go through those with you because I need to put that to bed. He did not identify 10 instances of possible obstruction of justice because it's not the The argument is he did not find the president innocent, but that's not his job. His job is not to find the president innocent. No law enforcement investigation is about finding somebody innocent. It's either can they be charged with a crime and can we win that in court or not? That's it. Nobody has to be vindicated. Nobody has to be cleared. Nobody has to be found innocent. The government doesn't work to find you innocent. The government's job is to prove guilt. If they can't prove guilt, they don't try you. If they think they can win, they try you. If they don't, they don't. And that's how this works. Their job is not to find anybody innocent. Their job is not to vindicate anybody. It's not how it works. So understand that, number one. Number two, realize that the President of the United States at no point stopped the special counsel's investigation. At no point did the President invoke executive privilege. At no point did the President of the United States do anything to keep the conclusions of the special counsel's report from reaching you. That's key as well. This is the attorney general from earlier today. I thought he did an excellent job, by the way. He actually hammered the media over their relentless speculation. Cut nine.
In assessing the president's actions discussed in the report, it is important to bear in mind the context. President Trump faced an unprecedented situation. As he entered into office and sought to perform his responsibilities as president, federal agents and prosecutors were scrutinizing his conduct before and after taking office and the conduct of some of his associates. At the same time, there was relentless speculation in the news media about the president's personal culpability. Yet, as he said from the beginning, there was in fact no collusion. And as the special counsel's report acknowledges, there is substantial evidence to show that the president was frustrated and angered by his sincere belief that the investigation was undermining his presidency, propelled by his political opponents, and fueled by illegal leaks. Nonetheless, the White House fully cooperated with the special counsel's investigation, providing unfettered access to campaign and White House documents, directing senior aides to testify freely, and asserting no privilege claims. And at the same time, the president took no act that in fact deprived the special counsel of the documents and witnesses necessary to complete his investigation.
Okay, now, let's back up a second to Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, right? Peter Strzok. Go back to August of 2016. When the text to each other was this. Strzok sends this to Page. Quote, I want to believe the path you threw out in Andy McCabe's office, that there's no way he gets elected. But I'm afraid we can't take that risk. It's like an insurance policy in the unlikely event you die before you're 40. At the time that Mueller was appointed special counsel, there was still no evidence of collusion, right? But what we know is that that insurance policy was the investigation. Upon the opening of the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, we had a number of discussions up through and including the director, regularly in which we were trying to find an answer to the question, right, which is there someone associated with the Trump campaign who is working with the Russians in order to obtain damaging information about Hillary Clinton? And given that it is August, we were very aware of the speed and sensitivity that we needed to operate under. This is all Lisa Page. She said, if the answer is this is a guy just being puffery at a meeting with other people, great, then we don't need to worry about this. We can all move on with our lives. If this is, in fact, the Russians have co-opted an individual with, you know, maybe wittingly or unwittingly, that's incredibly grave, and we need to know that as quickly as possible. And so we don't need to go at a breakneck speed so long as he doesn't become president. There isn't some threat to national security. While saying that if Trump was not elected president, the Bureau would still investigate. Quote, if he becomes president, that totally changes the game because now he is the president of the United States. He's going to immediately start receiving classified briefings. He's going to be exposed to the most sensitive secrets imaginable. And if there is somebody on his team who wittingly or unwittingly is working with the Russians, that is super serious. Page made clear that those involved did not think Trump would be Clinton. So this reflects, let's be reasonable, let's not, you know, throw the kitchen sink at this because he's probably not going to be elected. And so then we don't have quite as horrific a national security threat as we do if he does get elected. Understand that the whole notion of the insurance policy, they had nothing to base this on when they decided to go down this road. Nothing. They had absolutely no evidence to go down this road, but they did. They did, because the insurance policy was the investigation itself. Not as Lisa Page tries to spin it as, well, on the off chance that he's president and somebody was colluding with the Russians and now they have access to sensitive information. No. They didn't have any evidence to even reach that conclusion at the time. At the time, it was, if this guy wins, we got to find a way to make sure he's not an effective president. And what's the first thing the attorney general says? He says the president's getting into office and it's the nonstop barrage of Russia looking into the actions of his campaign and his campaign associates and his own actions. Nonstop. Lisa Page and Strzok, I mean, they were successful in what they were trying to achieve. They were trying to achieve this. Their insurance policy text was entirely about creating an investigation to just drive a presidency completely into the ground, to just put a, you know, thing in the gears and just grind it shut. And when you hear the attorney general today explain what was happening back then and why the president's motivations to end this investigation were entirely about that and not anything to do with finding evidence of collusion, because there was none, as the special counsel's report shows. There never was any collusion. See, when I talk about the time to investigate the investigators, the coup here that we talk about, the attempted coup is the investigation. That is the investigation. The coup is the investigation. Remember, if this had been somebody other than Trump, like, for example, when they appointed Mueller, Trump is quoted in this special counsel's report as saying something to the effect of, well, now I'm effed. My presidency's over. But Trump's a fighter and he fought back. But many other people in that position would have been the opposite, right? They would have said, I'm going to have a special counsel now crawling up my you-know-what, looking into every area of my life. I'm going to get nothing done. I'm going to lose political support and I'm done. And that's what they hoped would happen. They knew they would never find any evidence of collusion in this investigation, yet they kept the investigation going. Why? Because the investigation was the thing. As I've been saying, the investigation was the thing the whole time. It was the thing. Because the investigation is what would hobble him politically, cripple him politically, see Republicans fleeing from him, and then put him like a trapped rat into a corner. But Trump fought back. But a weaker candidate, a weaker president may not have, and they might have been correct. That's the coup. And as the Mueller report concludes, there was no Russia collusion, which is why you're not hearing about Russia collusion anymore. You're hearing about obstruction of justice. So the 10 times Trump might have obstructed justice, because you're going to hear a lot about that. So I'm going to give you what they're saying and you'll be able to analyze it from there. I think the president made some rookie political mistakes because he's new at this. And he should have taken advice from people who were trying to tell him that the efforts that he was trying to do, while understandable, would be taken by the Democrats and then used by the Democrats to try to impeach him and remove him from the presidency, which is exactly what they're doing. But he didn't do anything illegal, and he certainly did not abuse his power as president. He certainly did not go outside the Constitution. He did nothing of the sort. And let's understand the president's power to obstruct justice, shall we? Number one, the president has the ultimate power of the pardon power. Did he issue a pardon to anybody? No. Could he have? Absolutely he could have. In fact, I wish he would have. I've been saying for a long time, I wish that he had just pardoned Michael Flynn and had the whole thing just go away. And just ended it right then and there with a pardon, because now Michael Flynn's an innocent man. Now it's as if the crimes never happened, they never existed, and boof, they're gone. But let's go through what they're saying today, shall we? They're saying the president's conduct concerning the investigation of former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, that the Mueller report says that in writing the letter that Trump and Flynn would be a bad idea for the president to do, to have people lean on the attorney general to go easy on Flynn and blah, blah, blah. But understand, it was about trying to get the investigation over with, because it was early in the term. The president was of the belief, incorrectly, that if Flynn was gone, it would be over. But that's not impeachable. The president could have just pardoned Michael Flynn right then and there, and that would have been well within his constitutional right, right? Yes. They say the president's reaction to public confirmation of the FBI's Russia probe. It says after the president learned Sessions would have to recuse himself from the investigation, Trump sought to stop Sessions' move. Why? Now, how is that an obstruction offense? How is that obstruction of justice? First of all, why did Jeff Sessions recuse himself when there was no collusion? Right? So what was the point of recusing himself? He wanted to recuse himself because Jeff Sessions is a guy from Washington who lived in Washington and wanted to look, because it would not be proper if he didn't recuse himself. That's it. So if he pushed back on suggestions between there's a link between him and Russia, if he wanted people to push back on that, if he wanted people to tell Jeff Sessions to unrecuse himself, how is that obstruction of justice? It's not. But I think the president's thinking in all that was, Jeff Sessions recusing himself looks like he's guilty of something, like he did something, like I did something. And also, I think the president was just mad that Jeff Sessions never told him he was going to recuse himself when he got the job. They write, events leading up to and surrounding the termination of FBI Director James Comey. Again, as the special counsel confirms, the president has the absolute right to fire the FBI director. And there's nothing in there that says he fired him to cover up his own crimes or anybody else's crimes for that matter. That's one of the conclusions the special counsel reaches. The president's efforts to remove the special counsel. They're calling that obstruction of justice, even though it didn't happen. So something that did not take place, they're saying, is obstruction of justice. That's rich to me. He at one point told Dan McGahn to have him fired, and Dan McGahn said no, and then he never brought it up again. But because of that right there, that's potential obstruction. To get rid of a special counsel, which he had the power to get rid of, but never did. You see how stupid this is? Five, the president's efforts to curtail the special counsel investigation by having people like Corey Lewandowski talk to Jeff Sessions about ending it. He backed down from the request. He never got rid of the special counsel. He never fired Jeff Sessions at that time. He was well within his rights to do both, by the way, but he didn't. The president's efforts to prevent disclosure about the June 9th, 2016 meeting between Russians and senior campaign officials. What was the meeting in 2016 that was so problematic that they'd have to hide? Nothing. Because we know now that there was no illegal collusion, so there's no need to hide this meeting of June 9th, 2016 with Natalia Veliskanaya and the Trump and members of the campaign team. Any efforts to prevent disclosure about this meeting were because everything was being taken as, aha, the smoking gun, guilty, everything, right? I mean, you remember when that meeting came out, it was, well, there you go, boom, they got the proof. What's the proof? Proof of what? They asked the Russians for dirt on Hillary Clinton. Okay, so what? Actually, the Russians offered dirt on Hillary Clinton. Okay, so what? People can offer dirt. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing illegal about that. What's the problem? The real reason they didn't want the meeting disclosed was because everybody jumped up and said, ah, ha, 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 caught you red-handed. And yet the special counsel did not find any Russian collusion. The president's further efforts to have the attorney general take over the investigation. He wanted Sessions to unrecuse himself. Basically, these 10 things are just sort of repeating themselves, but, you know, you got to cling on to hope somehow, I guess. Sending out a slew of tweets about Sessions throughout the throughout his tenure, which they're actually arguing the president's tweets about Sessions is a potential obstruction of justice. Huh? What? How? The guy recused himself. So how's it obstruction of justice? And what was he obstructing justice of? Of what? But again, Trump was tired of the nonstop ongoing investigation and everybody night in, night out, going on television and saying it's only a matter of time now. The president orders Dan McGahn to deny that the president tried to fire the special counsel. Yeah, because it would have looked bad and everybody would have said that it would have been it would look like obstruction of justice. So he said, don't tell them about something I didn't do. He still could have fired the special counsel. Dan McGahn doesn't have the ultimate power over the president. If he says to Dan McGahn, go fire him, and Dan McGahn, the White House counsel, says no, he could fire Dan McGahn. Dan McGahn is not the ultimate overseer of the president's actions. So probably in a series of frustration, he says, you know what? I want the guy fired. Go fire him. Sir, I'm not going to do that. I think it's a bad idea. All right, fine. Forget I said anything. Well, that's obstruction of justice. Huh? How many times in life have people said, go do this? Forget it. I was just blowing off steam. So now telling him to forget about something he didn't do is now obstruction of justice. You see what a reach this is? Nine, the president's conduct towards Flynn, Paul Manafort, and some other redacted names. Because he expressed sympathy with both of them. That he made numerous comments about both men, indicating that pardons for them remained an option. Yeah, but he didn't pardon them. But if he had pardoned them, it would still not be obstruction of justice. So now the argument is that this is by saying nice things and being sympathetic towards Michael Flynn, his former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, and someone else who's redacted in there, that that's obstruction of justice. When the president could have just said, I'm pardoning everybody, but didn't. But now by going on Twitter and saying nice things, he's now obstructed justice, even though he has the absolute constitutional authority to pardon these very people that he's saying nice things about on Twitter. But he doesn't. But that's obstruction of justice. You see what an absolute reach this has. And then finally, 10, the president's conduct involving Michael Cohen. Because Trump has also criticized Cohen for his cooperation, calling him a rat. And they say here now, I guess they're trying to say that this is like witness intimidation or something like that. Cohen understood, based on this conversation and previous conversations about pardons with the president's personal counsel, that as long as he stayed on message, he would be taken care of by the president, either through a pardon or through the investigation being shut down. What's the Cohen investigation about? It's not about Russia collusion, right? It's about all of Michael Cohen's sleaziness and whether or not they paid off a porn star, quote unquote, paid off. So the president says, just keep your mouth shut and I'll pardon you. Michael Cohen doesn't keep his mouth shut, so it didn't work. But even if the president had pardoned him, so what? Michael Cohen did not have any of the clues to Russia collusion. There's nothing Michael Cohen has said that has incriminated the president. Nothing. Not one thing. There's no law against giving paying somebody money back after they've paid money to a porn star. There's no law against that. He never told them to lie. Never told them to lie. So what exactly did the president obstruct justice on regarding Michael Cohen, who's going to prison, by the way, who's going to federal prison? What justice did the president obstruct, I ask? That's what I mean about the 10 times that Trump might have obstructed justice. And each of these 10 things is ludicrous. But again, they're going to be the focus of what the Democrats spend every day and what MSNBC spends every day on. Because at the end of the day, Page and Strzok were very, very wise when they said in August that the investigation would be the insurance policy. They knew it would be. And even right now, we're still talking about it, even though it's moved on from collusion to now obstruction. They were right then. They knew it. The investigation was always the thing, and it still is. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. All right, let's get your reaction to all this so far. 855-839-1210. Matt is in South Jersey to get us started. Matt, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rich. We need to stop playing defense on this and start going on the offense. This is going to be the last day that we're playing defense. How can you obstruct an investigation of a crime that wasn't committed? The Dems are writing the book on stopping a populist president with this. And the special counsel acted completely within his authority. And it brings me no comfort to know that the same thing was done to Bill Clinton, except he was guilty, and minus the FISA abuse. I was 6 years old when that happened, and it was apparent, and it should have never been allowed to happen again. I won't make the same mistake. I'm holding my Democratic congressman accountable. And the special counsel must be comprehensively reformed or replaced. The Democrats must be held accountable for the complete lack of precedent for the special investigation and the FISA abuse. Public confidence is so eroded. Trust-based systems like the special counsel and FISA have zero accountability.
Well, let me ask you. Do you think the Democrats are hurting themselves politically by going on with this?
They might not be hurting themselves across the board, but I'm going to hurt my congressman with this.
At the voting booth. You're going to physically hurt him. Just be clear.
No, I'm going to pass out the New York Times article.
Oh, you
I'm
can do
pass
that.
Out
That's
these
fine.
Opinions.
All right, listen, Matt. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Thanks, bud. Appreciate it very much. I got your point, and well done. So on Matt's point, I think that the Democrats are going to cause themselves major, major political harm here. I think they're about to step in it in terms of a political disaster. Here's what I mean by this. The average person going about their day has no idea what the hell the special counsel law is, no idea what's in the Mueller report. They're never going to read it, and they're not going to care. People live their lives. The economy is good. I heard today that consumer spending's up, and people are spending more on cars, and people are spending more on gas. And the consumer spending levels right now, it's unprecedented. People don't live in this world that we live in. We're very interested in this stuff, which is great. You know, to use a sports analogy, I mean, a lot of people go to the games, but they don't know, you know, every statistic that they throw out on sports radio. Most people don't want this level of detail that we want. We crave it. It's why we're in talk radio. It's why we're here. But the Democrats' mistake is thinking that because there's an opening here, an opening there, and they go after Donald Trump, that everybody's going to go along with them. It's because they're in this gigantic room that echoes off the walls, and the echo chamber, and they think that's reflective of America. And you know who got burned by this the last time? Republicans, when they did the exact thing they did with Bill Clinton. And they paid the price for it politically. You know why? Because the average person said, did he do it or not? Is it impeachable or not? They didn't impeach. That's it. That's what the average person thinks. Did he do it or not? And this whole obstruction of justice, and I see people debating how you can obstruct justice in a crime that you didn't commit. Back and forth. You know what the average person thinks? Did he do it? No? All right, move on with our day. This is ridiculous. And because the Democrats are in an echo chamber, and because they've invested so much into this, they are not going to relent, and they should relent. You'll notice something else, too. The difference between the average Democrat in the House of Representatives versus the average Democrat running for president. Look at the difference. With the exception of Count Grantstangela, Cory Booker, Spartacus, who tweeted it out and said, he's making it very hard for us to read because it's not searchable Literally, that's what he said. The other presidential candidates are all trying to, they don't know exactly how to play this. You know why? They have very smart operatives around them who are saying to them, if you get in the mud here on this Mueller stuff, you're going to lose. They're going to lose. And so look at how Gerald Nadler's acting, and look at how the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi's acting, and look at how they're acting, and then ask, is this how the Democrats on the national level are acting as they run for president? If the answer is no, you know everything you need to know right there, which is that outside of Washington, nobody gives a, outside of Washington and the people who are passionate on Facebook, nobody gives a damn. Did he do it or not? He didn't do it. All right, move on. I'm making money. I have a job and we're good. People are very simple when it comes to that stuff. James Carville, one of the brightest political minds, he said it best in 1992 when he said it's the economy, stupid. And it is. It really is. And this is the mistake the Republicans made with Bill Clinton, and the Democrats are making it now. And it is to not realize when you've lost and move the hell on and move on. But you realize that they can't accept this, the results of the election, and they can't accept the results of this report. And they're going to feed the beast, because the beast wants to tune into MSNBC to hear the hope that Brian Williams and Rachel Maddow are offering them, the hope that there's still a chance this guy could be impeached. And they'll dish it out to him. They'll dish it out because the small group of people want to hear it. But I'm telling you, and you know this better than I do, better than anyone, because you're out there with people every day. You know the average person doesn't give a damn and is not going to read the Mueller report and has no idea what Gerald Nadler is talking about when he talks about obstruction of justice.
Riccioli 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.